Sange chultan sukhi chonam la jang chubar du dam kyab su chi dami jung so yi be so nam yi ro la vim chi zong.
I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of the Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the bliss which is sorrowless. May all dwell in equanimity, free from aversion and clinging. The ground is covered with flowers and sprinkled with scented water.
In the middle is Mount Meru, surrounded by the four continents and ornamented by the sun and moon.
By visualizing all this and offering as a Buddha realm,
may all sentient beings partake of the Buddha's pure lands. Okay, welcome to the 15th session of Parting from the Four Attachments. So let's just do a quick review of where we came from and where we're headed. We learned about refuge and renunciation in the first two lines. Yeah. And then in the third line, we got into the meditations of loving kindness, compassion, and the enlightenment thought. Enlightenment thought divided into relative and absolute, and we started focusing on the relative enlightenment thought, which is subdivided into aspiration and entering. And entering is subdivided into equalizing self and others and exchanging self and others. So we sort of took this out from this topic and made it a subtopic over here. If I had an electronic whiteboard, I would put that back here now and take out the conduct, which is follows the entering meditations. In other words, how do you live your life? Your conduct in daily life. So we'll talk about that tonight. Let's see, what else? Yeah, so you can put that one back and take that one out on your electronic whiteboard. We talked quite a bit about exchanging self and others because it's a really important topic. And Lama Jump had some interesting comments about it. One of the things he said is he listed some of the things that it's good for. Even though we're thinking about the benefit of others, it also has benefit for us. And so he listed some of the things it's good for. He said it's good for depression, anger, jealousy, general craziness, and loneliness. He mentioned that there's a steady stream of people come to visit him, you know, with their various problems, and he said the number one problem is loneliness. Mm-hmm. He said, especially young people, which was interesting. So that was one thing he said. Another thing he said is that the typical way that exchanging self for others is taught is with the breath, linked to the breath, the in-breath and the out-breath. And he said that's basically just to learn how to do it when you're a beginner. The idea is to eventually not need that anymore, and to take the mental attitude of the exchanging into your life. That's really where that's the aim of it. So that you're not tied to your breathing. Of course, you're going to be breathing anyway, but so that you're not just focused on the breathing, but you're actually focused on how you're living your life. And he said that Buddhas practice exchanging 24/7. That's all they do. They do that all the time, taking away suffering and giving benefit. So if you want to be a Buddha, that's what you do. So that was kind of interesting. Taking the practice off of our cushion and add into our daily life leads to the next topic, which is conduct, the bodhisattva conduct. And of course, in a general sort of sense, the practice of a bodhisattva is to abandon harming others and to benefit others as much as possible. In a nutshell, that's kind of a simple way of saying it. But to be more specific about it, and without going into a whole lot of detail, one could say that in general the practices of bodhisattva are the six perfections: generosity, morality, patience, joyous enthusiasm, meditation, and wisdom. And what are called the four means of gathering or attracting. Who are we gathering and attracting? Future students, basically. Those are giving gifts, pleasant speech, encouragement to practice, and being an example of practicing properly. Now, the six perfections and the four means of gathering are discussed extensively in a variety of texts. Those of you that were here last summer, Beautiful Ornament of the Three Visions, we went into lots of detail about these two types of practice, what they are, how you do them, and the fact that they need to be sealed with emptiness, which we're going to talk about soon, maybe tonight. If you want to go into more detail on these topics, you can look at that text or Shanti Deva's text, Guide to Entering the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, has a lot about these in there, and other texts, other sutras and so on. So we won't go into a lot of detail about those tonight, but those are, generally speaking, what you want to practice as a bodhisattva, combined with the exchanging meditation that you've mastered by this point. And so you're not tied to the cushion, but you're taking it out into your life through these various activities. Yeah? So that's conduct. And bodhisattvas get a lot of joy out of doing these practices. So it's not something that they feel like, oh, I have to do that. But it's actually a joyful experience. Why? Because it's actualizing their aspirations. You know, your aspiration as a bodhisattva is to attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings, so they can attain enlightenment. It really underlines the quality of the activities of the bodhisattva. This is the bodhisattva path we're talking about here, the Mahayana great vehicle path. That concludes the explanation of the third line. And so now we'll go on to the fourth line, which is, if grasping arises, you do not have the view. That's sort of a very common translation of the line into English. And when Lama and I were planning the outline for this teaching months ago, last year actually, I had the English translation there, and I read that to him, and he burst out laughing. Because the fourth line is basically about emptiness, or shunyata, and there is no you in that discussion. So to put you in this line struck his funny bone. So he got out the Tibetan text, the original Tibetan, and sort of did a spontaneous translation, which is similar, but there is this distinction, and it was something like, and I'm just going on memory now, but it was something like, if there is grasping, there isn't the correct view. So there's no you in it. And we will hopefully see as we go through this why he laughed and why that's an important distinction to be making. And he said that, now this topic, of emptiness and shunyata and view and all that, this is huge topic. And, you know, there's the philosophical side of the discussion, which is extensive, and then there's the meditative side of the discussion, which is also extensive. But the philosophical colleges in Tibet, Lama said that the philosophical study of the view, the curriculum lasts 50 years, 50 years. That's how deep they go. And he said, you know, after the communist invasion and the refugees leaving Tibet and coming to India mainly, he said that the Dalai Lama decided to cut it back to 20 years. So the curriculum was only 20 years now. So my challenge is to condense that into 1 or 2 hours. So I'll do my best. I see my job as more of like a cultural interpreter more than anything, just trying to make sense of the words and the culture that came to us. And that's why I try to use as much English as possible. It's not always possible, but try to minimize the lingo. I'm going to give my cultural interpretation of the four lines now. This is my opinion or my way of saying it as simple as possible for me, but also for anybody that wants to partake. So the first line is really about non-attachment to life. The second line is about non-attachment to cyclic existence. The third line is about non-attachment to your own purpose. And the fourth line is about non-attachment to anything, or to everything. Why that's so is that everything that we perceive is an illusion. We're going to go into this in more detail, of course. Everything that we perceive is an illusion. But also, it's a projection of your mind. But also, the perceiver is an illusion. Your mind is an illusion. And not only that, the illusion is an illusion. Basically, there isn't anything to be attached to. That's what the fourth line is saying. If you get that, if you attain that, you're enlightened. So it's this attachment that's really binding us into cyclic existence and our world, our lives of suffering and so on and so forth. This is a deep but important topic. And basically, we pretty much get it wrong. We basically cling to phenomena as real and solid and permanent. And as a result of that, we either fall into what's called nihilism, or denying, or eternalism, which is reifying or making it solid. And those are the two extremes that we vacillate between, you know. And as long as we're in those extremes anywhere, we can't possibly get enlightened. It's contradictory. And there's lots of philosophical arguments, logical arguments that show that phenomena are illusory, that they're like appearances like a dream or a mirage or a rainbow, and there's lots of examples and logical arguments and so on and so forth. We're not going to go into all that, but they're there to be studied and meditated on. That's the philosophical side, but the attainment of shunyata or emptiness or whatever you want to call it can only be accomplished through meditation. You cannot do it through reasoning or discursive thought. We use those tools to approach the meditational topic, but attainment that's only attained through meditation. Okay, so it's important to understand. And the meditation process for attaining this is sequential. There's steps that we go through. So we're going to be at least outlining the steps so that you know what they are. But as usual, that's why we have teachers and gurus, is to guide us in this process, because as we saw last summer, if you make a mistake in advanced meditation, you can end up in the former formless realms. That's how you end up there. And we don't want to go to those realms. It's not a good rebirth. It's a detour, so to speak. And so it's really important when you're doing these meditations to do them correctly. And it's a good idea to have a guide. Another reason. In very simplified terms, when we're doing the meditation part, after we've studied the logical part and the philosophical part, we're doing the meditation part, we need to do a special kind of meditation called special insight. But in order to do special insight, we have to attain the attainment of calm abiding, which is the ability to focus on the object of meditation clearly and completely for a very long time. Some teachers say for a day and a night, some say for a month, some say for a year, some say indefinitely. So the ability to focus and do concentrated meditation is important to develop before you dive in too much with the special insight, because it requires this focus in order to do the special insight meditation. So the calm abiding is the first step, and then special insight, which we'll go into special insight some more detail, but that follows calm abiding. And then the next step is to combine the two. So that's kind of the general outline of where we're headed in this section, in the fourth line. So we're going to discover phenomena are illusory, that our perception and our mind are illusory, and the illusion itself is illusory, and therefore there's nothing to be attached to. And then you're enlightened. Have a nice day. So, Nordchen Kunga Zangpo, in his commentary of the fourth line, he wrote fairly extensively in some interesting things, so we will listen to a recording of what he said. Nordchen Kunga Zangpo, Precepts for the Practice of the Bodhisattvas. Generally, the practice or behavior of the Bodhisattvas is to abandon harming others and to accomplish as much benefit as possible for others. In particular, the Bodhisattva must practice the six perfections, that is, giving, moral conduct, patience, joyous enthusiasm, meditation, and wisdom, in order to mature his or her own mind. Further, in order to mature others, accomplish the four means of gathering adherents, that is, speaking pleasantly, giving, encouraging others to practice according to their abilities, and practicing properly yourself. In the Akashagarbha Sutra and the Bodhicayavatara, the manner for practicing the precepts has been explained in great detail. Now the fourth line of Parting from the Four Attachments reads, if grasping arises, you do not have the view. This means that though you have thoroughly produced the relative enlightenment thought, you doing so along with grasping phenomena to be true. In this way you fall into the extremes of eternalism or nihilism, and so are not able to gain liberation. Therefore, in order to come grasping at substantiality and at attributes or characteristics, meditate upon concentration meditation and insight wisdom. As it is said, knowing that the faults of the afflictions are destroyed by insight wisdom, that is well endowed with concentration meditation, first one must seek to obtain concentration meditation.
This also will be perfectly accomplished by non-attachment to the world. In order to practice this, meditate upon concentration meditation, insight wisdom, and these two jointly merged together. Concentration meditation, also known as calm abiding. Having gone to a place that is free from the distractions of meditation, such as a secluded, mind-pleasing place that is under the protection of a Dharma king, and free from the commotions and obstacles of the comings and goings of people, sit upon a comfortable seat. As a preliminary practice for every meditation session, take refuge and create the enlightenment thought. Then, place your feet in the Vajra posture, with your hands in the meditation posture, the tip of your tongue slightly touching your palate, your spine erect and straight, and your eyes half closed, and thus meditate in the proper position. As Lord Maitreya said, having settled the body in the right place, concentration meditation is used to rest the mind upon the mind so that it remains undistracted, and insight wisdom is used to penetrate into the real nature of all things. Thus, as he says, place your mind one-pointedly upon an object of meditation, whether it be a mental object or an outer physical object, such as a black pebble. This is the practice of concentration meditation. In the Samadhi Raja Sutra, the elder Uttarabhadra says that one should meditate upon an image or the visualization of the Buddha. Although there is no difference in the method of placing the mind one-pointedly upon a black pebble or on an image of the Buddha, when you visualize an image of the Buddha, you also bring to mind the qualities of the Buddha, so more merit is produced. Therefore, the latter method is employed here. In the space in front of you, visualize a jeweled throne upon which there are a multicolored lotus and a moon disc. Seated upon that is the Buddha Shakyamuni, whose body is yellow in color like purified gold. His right hand is in the earth-touching gesture, and his left hand is in the meditation gesture. Wearing saffron-colored robes, he sits with his feet in the Vajra position. With this visualization, you should meditate. Visualize his whole body, and especially direct your visualization to the tuft of hair between his eyebrows, and thus meditate. Alternatively, it is permissible to meditate upon the visualization of the Buddha Amitabha, whose body is red in color, with his two hands in the meditation posture, and with the throne and so on being the same as with the visualization of the Buddha Shakyamuni. Therefore, before proceeding to insight wisdom, meditate upon concentration meditation, because the meaning of the previous quotation, quote, knowing that the faults of the afflictions are destroyed by insight wisdom, that is well endowed with concentration meditation, first one must seek to obtain concentration meditation, unquote, is this. When you meditate well upon concentration meditation, then you can transfer your meditation to any object. Then, when you're able to place your mind upon any object for months or years, this is proper concentration meditation. However, this concentration meditation alone is not sufficient to remove the afflictions. The antidote for this is the necessity to meditate upon insight wisdom. Having examined the true nature of all mental and physical phenomena through discriminating wisdom, the mind that realizes the state devoid of all extreme views, such as existence and non-existence, permanence and nothingness, is a mind that has attained insight wisdom. The method of placing the mind one-pointedly has just been explained as being concentration meditation, and insight wisdom is explained below. Next, that which is seen through insight wisdom must be placed one pointedly before the mind through concentration meditation. Insight wisdom, also known as special insight. The meditation of insight wisdom consists of three parts: to establish all outer appearances to be made by mind, to establish the mind to be illusory, and to establish the illusion to be devoid of an inherent nature of its own. First, to establish all outer appearances to be made by mind. All the various outer appearances or phenomena that we see, such as horses, elephants, men, women, walls, vases, cloth, and so on, did not arise without a cause, nor were they made by chance, God, the four elements, atoms, or the manifestation of the Buddha. These appearances arise due to the power of placing the propensities or impressions of this or that object upon the mind since beginningless time. Your own mind is the creator of all these appearances. Think that there is no other creator of these than your own mind. And upon this idea, meditate. Second, to establish the mind to be illusory, as it says in the Samadhi Raja Sutra, just as the appearances of the various illusory forms of horses, elephants, and carts by magicians are not true whatsoever, just so should all objects be known. And just as it says, all the various outer appearances previously explained are like a dream or a magical illusion. For example, although you may experience various joys or sorrows in a dream, everyone likewise knows that these are not truly existent. Therefore, think that these appearances, which are just of the relative apparent level of existence, are like the reflections of images in a mirror. And until you have certain knowledge of this, meditate again and again. Third, to establish the illusion to be devoid of an inherent nature of its own. In this way, although these appearances, the various appearances that are like illusory objects, are merely relatively apparently existing, still, their appearance is non-ceasing. However, should they be examined at the level of ultimate truth, nothing would be found to exist, not even as much as a hundredth part of a hair's tip. Meditate upon this idea. Third, the merging of the two, concentration meditation and insight wisdom. Having established, step by step, that all appearances are mind-made, that this mind is illusory, and that the illusion is without an inherent true nature of its own, you have arrived with complete certainty at the realization that all things are emptiness, a state completely free from all mentally created extremes, such as existence, non-existence, both existence and non-existence, or neither existence nor non-existence. Non-dually merging together the mind that realizes this and the true nature of objects so that they are of one taste, like water poured into water or melted butter mixed into melted butter, one pointedly place the mind in meditation upon this. Through constantly meditating in this manner, you will become habituated to ultimate truth and to non-referential compassion. This non-referential compassion, which is spontaneously brought about through the realization of emptiness, will be generated towards those sentient beings who have not realized ultimate reality. Further, the erroneous view of grasping things to be true disappears, and all illusory visions appear as primordial wisdom. Thus you will manifestly arrive at the stage of complete enlightenment that is endowed with the three bodies of perfection. Conclusion, the dedication of merit. At the conclusion of every meditation session, you must dedicate the root of virtue arising from the meditation of profound samadhi in addition to whatever root of virtue you and others have gathered in all the directions through conditional causes. The aim of your dedication is gaining the stage of omniscient Buddhahood. The dedication is made for the sake of all sentient beings who are equal to space. The dedication is performed with the understanding that these merits, along with their dedication, are like a dream and a magical illusion. Having first reflected on these aspects, recite the dedication thus. By this virtue, may all living beings acquire the accumulations of merit and transcendental knowledge, and may they obtain the two holy bodies that arise from merit and transcendental knowledge. Thus recite whatever dedication prayers you know from the sutras and other authoritative scriptures.
So we are to see things as like a dream, because when you dream it seems really real, and then you wake up and you realize it was a dream. And so the instruction is to see our waking life in the same way as an illusory dream. There's a saying, the world tells you to follow your dreams, and Buddhism says to wake up. So there's a kind of transformation there. And also just like to underline one thing that was said there, which is when you attain the realization of emptiness, there are certain qualities or characteristics that arise spontaneously. And one of them is this compassion that was referenced there. And it's compassion that arises spontaneously for all the other sentient beings that haven't realized what you realized. Because that is really the key to becoming enlightened. And all sentient beings are stuck in samsara, unenlightened. And so this compassion, non-referential compassion, arises just spontaneously when you attain shunyata attainment, along with other powers, so to speak, or characteristics. So, are there any questions about any of this so far?
When you say concentration meditation, do you mean the way I translate that is shamatha?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so that to develop concentration, how I understand it is that it is a venue through the breath, which I noticed nobody said anything about the breath. There was elements of focusing on images, and I was actually taught discouraged to because that nimitta then arise once you begin, you know, seeing Buddhas in your third eye and this and that.
What is nimitta?
Nimitta is illusory images that
uh-huh.
will perpetuate themselves
uh-huh.
as opposed to leading to vipassana.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I understand that shamatha and vipassana are the two things that you can conjoin. I think that's what you're talking about with concentration and special insight. Special insight is vipassana, no?
Okay, we're into words now.
Yeah, I know.
So let me see if I can unravel some of this. First of all, we're using words which are labels and not the thing itself. The map is not the territory. We have to be using the same dictionary when we're using words and you know, agree on what the word means. And it would appear that there is some difference between Theravadan use of these words and Mahayana use of these words. That's what it looks like, to me anyway.
That's what it feels like.
So, to go back to your point about the breath, you notice I didn't use the word shamatha, I used the word calm abiding to minimize this possible confusion that can happen. when we talk about calm abiding, we're talking, in this context, we're talking about one-pointed concentration on a wholesome object. That's the definition of it. Now, the wholesome object could be variable, you know. Certainly, the breath is a tool that's used in lots of different kinds of meditation. But in this case, it's not the only way to develop calm abiding. It's the concentration that we're really working with here. Not so much the object, as long as the object is a wholesome object. If you're watching the Stanley Cup Finals, you might be concentrated, but that doesn't qualify as a wholesome object. That's just something you're really focused on. So a wholesome object, there's many, many, many wholesome objects. You know, it could be a topic like compassion or loving kindness or these meditations that we've done. It could be an image, a tanka, a statue. Could be a mantra. It could even be a prayer. In the development of calm abiding, it's really the focusing and the developing that we're working with, so that we can then take that skill, as it mentioned, into other types of meditation. So that's briefly and generally what we mean here with calm abiding. Special insight, we haven't really gotten into yet, and we won't tonight. So come back next week, talk about it some more. But again, I didn't use the word vipassana or vipassana because it has these different meanings for different people and different lineages and so on and so forth. So the special insight that we're going to see is not what people in the West anyway think of when they think about mindfulness, walking, eating, labeling, that kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. We'll go into it more later.
I think the big difference is possibly just the word concentration, because in my understanding, concentration develops through the breath techniques, the breathing. Like when you develop concentration, it is because of developing awareness of breath.
I would say in this tradition that's a possibility, but it's not limited to breath.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I, because my understanding in Theravadin was that developing concentration is, because you can overdevelop concentration. You can get too much concentration because of breathing techniques, and then you get into nimitta and other distractive forms of thinking.
Yeah, in the Beautiful Arm of the Three Visions course that we did last summer, we went into this in quite a bit of detail. We went into the possible downfalls in meditating. What are the antidotes for the downfalls? How much do you apply the antidotes? It's a big topic, and we're not going to go into it now. Those recordings are available, by the way, if somebody wants to review that. That's why it's good to have a teacher. And it's really beyond what we're doing here to go into a lot of details. I mean, this course would go on forever if we did all the, details of all of this. But it's to point out certain things and reference where you can go for further teaching or practice and so on. That's about the best I can do for you.
Thank you. That was great.
Okay. But it's good to know that there are these different terms, and it's good to be on the same page with the person you're talking to. Otherwise, it can be very confusing, and especially when you're talking about these very esoteric topics. As I said, the words are not. They're not really the topic anyway, they're just a label that we put on what we're doing. We were already removed just by speaking about it. Emptiness can't be spoken about on the Dharmakaya level. There are no words, there are no descriptions, there's no language at all. That's why it can't be attained by reading a book. It has to be attained through meditation. It has to be beyond that, so to speak. Interesting question, though. Any other discussion or question about this? What we talked about tonight? Okay, well, this will be continued next week. But for tonight, let's do some meditation. Let's do some calm abiding meditation. And you can do your breath if you want.
I have to.
But I'm going to lead the one that Rinpoche described, which is the Golden Buddha. Okay. Find yourself a posture that's good for you for this. I like to take a breath or two just to transition before I start and get my posture. So following Rinpoche's guidelines, you can visualize an image of the Buddha in front of you, a few feet in front of you, slightly above you. Sitting in meditation posture, gold in color. Right hand touching the earth in the earth witness mudra. And left hand in his lap in the meditation mudra. Legs are crossed in the Vajra posture. And Rinpoche said to focus on the circular tuft of hair, which is between the Buddha's eyes in the position of the third eye that we see in pictures. And that's one of the places where the Buddha emanates lights which accomplish the Buddha's activities. And just let your mind relax into that image and focus on it in a relaxed sort of way, not too intensely and not too loosely. And feel that you're bathed in the golden light. And if your mind wanders, just gently bring it back to the image. So we'll say the dedication now. So nam de tam cha zi pa ni dom na nye pe da nam pam je te ke ga na chi ba lung tu pe yi sit pe tso le do wa lu ar sho jang ju sen cho grim po che ma ke pa nam ke gur che ke ma nyam par me par yong gong ne gong tu pel par sho jam pa pa oi ji tar ken pa dong kun du sang bo de yang de jin te de da kung yi je su da lo chi ge wa di da tam che rab tu mu tu sung je bi gya wa tam che ki no wa gong wa chu tu nga pa gi da shen ge we tsa wa di kung kyung sang po jo ji rab du ngu war gi sa wa dang do jing sa pa dong je su yi rong ku jing so wa yi ge wa chung ze da gi chi sak pa tam che zo pe jong chu che by this merit, may all attain omniscience, may it defeat the enemy wrongdoing. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. Bodhicitta is precious. May it arise in all beings in whom it has not arisen. May it never decline where it has arisen, but may it ever grow and flourish. In whatever way valiant Manjushri and Samantabhadra know how to transfer merit, so do I dedicate all my own virtues that I might train to be like them. Through this dedication, praised as supreme by the victorious Buddhas of the past, present, and future, I, together with all sentient beings, dedicate these roots of virtue to attaining Buddha. May whatever little virtue you have from prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and beseeching, be dedicated to attaining perfect. Thank you.